Amen. Take your Bibles with me this morning to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I know your bulletin says something different. Don't worry about that. Listen to me. All right. John chapter 1 this morning. Have you ever noticed that kids can ask a lot of questions? And they can ask and ask and ask. And when they're done asking, then you get why? Kids love to ask questions because they want to know. Questions are meant for information. And those people that are asking questions are those that are ready for an answer. A lot of times, it can be easy for those as teachers to have trouble with the kids that continually ask questions over and over again. I remember my mom, as I had her for honors geometry, there was a kid in her class that just had to really see the explanations over and over again, and he would constantly raise his hand, and it just got to be the running joke that he was going to ask questions. But questions mean that we want to find an answer. This morning, I want to look at a question that I hope each and every one of us can ask in our hearts. And today, hopefully, we can find an answer for. That question is for us here in Scripture. In John chapter 1, I want us to look down here at verse 35. In verse 35, it says, "The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and he said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, 'What are you seeking?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,'" which means teacher, "'where are you staying?' And he said to them, 'Come and you will see.' So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it is about the 10th hour. And one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas,' which means Peter." Here we see in Scripture a story of Jesus calling some of his disciples, but I believe this is very poignant for us today and something that we can really pull together and pull something out of for us. You know, as we saw the wonderful picture of baptism today, and we saw these that came and were baptized and have decided to follow Jesus, they turned their heart over to Him and have accepted by faith what He has done for them. We too here see a time where John the Baptist had been preaching. He had been baptizing with water. And just a few verses earlier, he had said, "I am baptizing you with water, but there's one coming that's going to be able to baptize you with the Spirit. That he is greater than I, that I'm not even worthy to loose his sandal." And then we see these two of the disciples standing there by John the Baptist, and he looks up, he sees Jesus there in verse 36, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And that was a very picturesque phrase for them, because the Lamb of God pointed them back to that Old Testament sacrificial system, that Lamb that would be slain on the Day of Atonement to provide for the sins of the nation of Israel, that would be poured out on the mercy seat for their sins. And he is saying, there in this Jesus of Nazareth is the Lamb of God, this one that is going to die, he's going to be buried, and he's going to raise again so that you can have life. And John points them to Jesus. And as these disciples are looking around, they come up to Jesus, they're intrigued, this Lamb of God. Then in verse 38, Jesus turns and he saw them following. He sees them following and he says to them, "What are you seeking? What are you seeking?" Now, if you suddenly had a couple of followers, I don't know if that would be the first question you would ask when you turned around and saw these followers. It might be like, "What are you doing? Why are you following? But Jesus, seeing these two that are following, he turns around and his question is, what are you seeking? And I think that is a question that we all need to ask today. What am I seeking? What am I seeking? Am I seeking happiness? Do I want everything just to turn out okay? Do I want everything to go well today? Do I want my finances to be okay? I want to get my bills paid. I want my kids to be good. I want them to get a good education. Hey, and you know what? On the top of it, I really hope that the Cowboys might win the opening game today, right? Maybe we can just have some happiness. Maybe you're seeking fame. And you are taking selfies all the time and YouTube and all of this. And you're seeking fame and maybe you're seeking fortunes. Maybe you just want good health. Maybe you just are seeking for love. All you teenagers seeking for love. There's an aura of perfume that just comes up from our teen section up here that says, oh, I'm seeking love. What are we seeking? This morning, as we're in this place, as we're in this house, let us learn from Jesus as he turns and he asks them, what are you seeking? And I want you to notice what happens to these two guys. What are you seeking? They answering Jesus, they said to him, Rabbi, which notice the parenthesis there, which means teacher, where are you staying? Where are you staying? If Jesus turns and asks you, what are you seeking? What is going to be your reply? Well, let me tell you this. I need this healed. I got a bum knee. I got this. I need this done. What are you seeking? And they turn around. They say, Jesus, we want to know where you're staying. You know what they say? Where do you live, Jesus? Where do you live? Where are you staying at? We want to be where you are at. We want to dwell with you. You know what? That is one of the needs that we have in our life. We need shelter, don't we? We need a place to stay. We need somewhere to call home. We need a place that we know that we're going to be taken care of. And when that is in jeopardy, there is stress. There is all kinds of issues. I saw this past week, the city of Dallas opened up the new park of housing for the homeless to help give them shelter. It's one of the basic needs of our life. Where do we stay? Where do we live? I remember this was up in the air for us at one point in time. As we had left our first church to come back to school for me to work on my master's, and thankfully my wife's parents allowed us to stay with them, and we were trying to get things in order to find a house. And we would go and, you know, we knew our price range. We knew where we could find. And we would look at these different houses. And we looked at this one house. And, you know, it looked like it was going to fit. It was going to work for our family. We put in an offer, we thought, with the real estate agent. Unfortunately, the real estate agent didn't mail it off in time. We had put earnest money down with that. She didn't send off the contract in the right time. And then all of a sudden, we lost the contract during the option period because she hadn't responded back in these different things. Plus, on top of that, we were out $600, and that was a lot of money for us. Still a lot of money. We were out of it, and you know, it just seemed like we were disheartened. We had gone over and looked at the house, and someone had broken into the house and tore all the copper out of the air conditioner unit while it sat vacant. Just one thing after another. It was just a problem. And I was working on my Jeep one Saturday. I was just going over all this with my father-in-law. We were just talking about it, and Hayden was running around there. He was in about the first grade at that time. And he grabbed a book and he sat in the back of the Jeep and he was coloring. And he heard all that we were talking about. On the way to church the next day, Nicole was looking through this book that Hayden was coloring. And I've shown you the picture before where he had drawn a house and he had put an X over the house. And over the top, he wrote out, "We are doomed." D-U-M-T. We are doomed. And Nicole's laughing at it, looking at it like, well, what is this, Hayden? He said, well, we are doomed because we can't find a house. You know, sometimes we have that need of finding a place to stay. And here are these disciples. They say, Jesus, we want to know where you stay. We want to know where you dwell. Because you are the Lamb of God. Folks, today I want you to know that Jesus is asking you, what are you seeking? And He wants to tell you that He can dwell with you today. That He can dwell right where you're at. As they sit there, Jesus, where are you staying? And notice what His response is. Come and you will see. Listen, when we call out to Jesus, there is none that He turns back. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is nothing too far that you've done that He cannot forgive. That His blood is not good enough to cleanse you from it. There is no place that you can't go where He can't pull you out of. He's saying, come and you will see. Today you can know Me as your personal Savior. Today you can know that I dwell with you. So they came and saw where He was staying. And they stayed within that day, for it is about the 10th hour. I love that part. You know what? They came, they saw where He was staying. And I tell you, when you get around Jesus and you get a little Jesus in your life, you're going to want to stay with Him too. You're going to want to keep up with Him. And they wanted to stay right where He was at. They stayed with Him. It's about the 10th hour. So not only did they find out where Jesus could stay, not only did they come and see, but now notice what happens. They came, they saw where He's staying. They stayed with Him that day for about the 10th hour. Then verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Folks, some of you here today, you're staying with Jesus. You're dwelling with Jesus. But you need to get out there and bring some people to Jesus. You need to let Jesus be so real in your life. You need to let Jesus be dwelling with you so vibrantly and so vividly that you are there ready to bring some people to Jesus. To say, look, this is who we have found. We have found the Messiah. This is Jesus. This is the one that can change your life. This is the one that can make a difference in you. What are you seeking? Let me tell you, you need to seek Jesus. Hey, Peter, we have found Him. We have found the Messiah. Now, did you notice the difference there? Because this is what happens when we come and dwell with Jesus. Go back to verse 38. Jesus turned, saw them following, and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And He said to them, and they said to Him, "Rabbi," which means teacher. So they're seeking Jesus. And they want to know, where does He stay? Rabbi is the name by which they call Him. Then you know what? They come, they see, they get to experience Jesus. And then notice what happens in verse 41. We have first found His own brother Simon. He said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Christ in the Greek, in what it's referring to, is the anointed one, the separated one. It is that one that is picturing that Messiah of the Old Testament that was going to come and take away the sins of the world. That one that was prophesied by Isaiah. That one that, "For unto you a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and He shall be Jesus, Emmanuel, God with you." And then as they come back to Peter, they say, "We have found not Rabbi, not the teacher. They have found the Messiah." Folks, when you get with Jesus, when you dwell with Jesus, you're going to go off and tell people, "He is the chosen one. He's the one that makes the difference in me. He's the one that changed my life. He is the Messiah." And that is life change. What are you seeking? What are you seeking? Because I want to tell you that money is not going to change your life the way Jesus can. Even your health, if you have your health, there's only going to come to a certain point. And then what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his own soul? And today, as we're here, of all the things that we can be seeking, I love the fact that these teenagers point us to the Jesus that we can decide to follow. That today, as we see this question from Jesus, what are we seeking, that we can say to Him, Jesus, where are You staying? I want You to stay right here. I want You to be in my life. You see, the Scripture gives us the perfect picture in Romans, because it tells us in chapter 3 and verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. It tells us in 3:23 of Romans that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That tells us that we are all in the same boat, that we're all in the same spot. And that's the fact that we are sinners and we are seeking for something to save us. The problem is people are seeking all over the place, and we need to seek Jesus. We need to seek Jesus. Because Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us that God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when we were in our condition, in our sinful condition, and we were looking for Jesus, and we were looking for something to save us and wanting something to stay with us, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be that answer. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. And today, that Jesus can stay with you. As Romans 10:9-10 says, if we believe in our heart and confess Him with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, that we can be saved. You see, Jesus did the work. When He died on the cross for us, it was His perfect blood that made atonement for our sins. And that gift is there. And Jesus today is calling to you and He's saying, come and you will see. What do we have to do? We have to reach out. We have to receive that gift. Reach out and receive that gift and make it personal in our life. That Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I've been looking for all these other things to save me, but today the only thing that can save me is You. And it's by Your blood that my sins can be forgiven. And today, He can dwell with you. Can I ask you this morning, what are you seeking? You know what? It's pretty dire when we don't know that we have a shelter. It's pretty dire when we know that we don't have a home. Today, you can know that you're going to dwell with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Because as He's calling out, what are you seeking? He's also saying, come and see. Come and see. Have you seen it? Today, we want to give you that opportunity. We want to give you the opportunity to come and to see Jesus. Because all of this that we do, folks, all of this ministry, all that we're going to talk about back here, all of our fellowship, all of our worship, all of it centers around Jesus the Messiah. Name above all names. The rescue for sinners. And today He's saying, come and see. Shall we stand? Just with your heads bowed, with your eyes closed. This morning, before we get to our response song, before we open up the altars this morning, I want you just to really ponder that question today. What are you seeking? What are you seeking? Because today there's only one thing that can change your life, and it's Jesus. One thing that can make an eternal difference, that can forgive you of your sins, and that's Jesus. Folks, I can't forgive you of your sins. Just coming to this church is not going to forgive you of your sins. Getting in some water is not going to forgive you of your sins. Only Jesus can forgive you of sins today. And today we want to see you come and see it. As we stand here today with no one looking around, I want you just to peer in your heart and life, and I want to give you a chance to come and see. If you know that you are a sinner, if you know that you have done things wrong in your life, and no matter how far, no matter how deep, no matter how crazy, we have a Savior that's good for all of it. And if you know that you're a sinner this morning, and if you know that there's never been a time in your life where you have asked God to forgive you of your sins and to ask Jesus to come into your life and to save you, but there's never been that moment this morning, you can come and see. In just a moment, we're going to sing. I'm going to be down front here, Brother DJ, our youth pastor's down here. We've got others here that can show you the way as well. But if you're seeking anything else other than Jesus this morning, I want you to come and see what He can do in your life. And for you that know Jesus, and for you that are dwelling with Jesus, can I ask you, who are you bringing to Him? Just as Andrew ran to his brother and said, "Hey, Peter, you got to come see. This is the Messiah." Who are you letting see Jesus in you? Who through your life can see that He is the Messiah? Maybe you need to come and just pray for them this morning. Maybe you need to come and just say, "Lord, show me, give me somebody that I can bring to You so that they might dwell with You." Can I ask you, if you need that Savior today, as we sing, just step out. We'll be right here. It's not that far. And we want to show you. Come and see how great He is. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray now that Your Spirit would move in us. And God, that we would respond to You, Lord, that people would come and see how great You are. God, today may we seek You, and Lord, may we shine You to others. Move and work as only You can in this time. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. If you need that Jesus, I'm down front. Come. Come and see.